My career started in year 1974 in Arthur Andersen London office. I worked for Arthur Andersen 11 years before the Enron case. So after 11 years, I joined a bank. I was appointed as the vice president of a Turkish bank and then CEO of a Turkish bank. So I had many years in the banking industry. So half of my professional career is in auditing, half of it is in banking. And then I established the Turkish Ethics Foundation. It's the Ethic Values Foundation in Turkey. So I had some experience in the ethical life of the Turkish business system and the Turkish banking system. So therefore, I picked up as a topic the ethical paradox in financial institutions. It really is a paradox. When my students ask to me, are banks ethical? Well, I smile and they understand what I mean because of what we lived in the very recent years, also in Turkey and in the world economy, in the world banking system. We have seen some paradox in the ethical world, in the financial system. What I wanted to share with you was just to let you understand what went wrong in the financial system. Very quickly, I wanted to touch to the subprime loans. Everybody is mentioning about mortgage subprime loans, the reason for the big crisis in the world. So what's the subprime loans? So this really explains to you what happened in a very, very simple manner. At the mortgage brokers, so there is a mortgage broker and there are two gentlemen there. The one on the left is just a poor guy. The poor guy here says, gee, I'd like to buy a house, but I haven't saved any money for a down payment. And I don't think I can afford the monthly payments. Can you help me? So the one on the left is the mortgage broker. Sure, since the value of your house will always go up, we don't need down payments anymore. And we can give you a really, really low, very low interest rate for a few years. We will raise it later, okay? The poor guy is surprised and says, sure, no problem. There is one other thing. My employer is a real prick and might not verify my employment. Would that be a problem? The mortgage broker says, no problem. We can get you a special layers loan and you can verify your own employment and your own income. Oh, the guy is happy. He says, you guys are awesome. You're wonderful. You're really willing to work with guys like me? He's a little bit surprised. The broker says, well, we don't actually lend you the money. A bank will do that. So we don't really care if you repay the loan. We still get our commission. Oh, that's great. Let's start. And a few weeks later, it's the bank this time. The banker is sitting in his office with the new mortgage files. The new mortgage files are in the dustbin. They're smelling bad. And the banker says, I'd better get rid of these crappy mortgage loans. They are starting to stink up my office. Thankfully, the really smart guys in New York will buy them and perform their functional magic. I will call them right away. Dun, 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 and that's calling London, New York. And the smart guys in New York, we have two smart guys in New York. This is the investment bank, Wall Street, New York. The one on the left is the junior banker. The one on the right is the senior investment banker. So the senior investment banker says, "Phew, we'd better get rid of these shitty mortgages before they start attracting flies." The junior says, "But who would buy this crop, boss?" The senior says, "Oh, don't worry, I've got it. First, we will create a new security and use these crappy mortgages as collateral. We will call it a CDO or maybe CMO. We can sell the CDO to investors and promise to pay them back as the mortgages are paid off." The junior guy doesn't understand. "But crap is crap, boss, isn't it? I don't understand it." The senior says, "Sure, individually these are pretty crappy loans. But if we pool them together, only some of them will go bad. Certainly not all of them. And since housing prices always go up, we really have very little to worry about." The junior, "I still don't get it, sir." The senior says, "The new CDO will work like this. It will be made up of three pieces or tranches. And we will call them the first tranche the good one, the second tranche not so good one, and the third tranche ugly ones." "If some of these mortgages fail, as surely some might, we will promise to pay investors holding the good tranche first, then we will pay the not so good the second, and the ugly investors last." The junior says, "Ah, I'm starting to understand it. And because the good investors have the least risk, we will pay them a lower interest rate than the other guys, right? The not so good will get a better interest rate, and the ugly guys will get the fat interest. High risk, high return." "Exactly," says the senior. "But wait, it gets even better. How? We will buy bond insurance for the good piece. If we obtain that, the rating agencies will give it really a great rating in the AAA to A range. They will likely give the not so good tranche a BBB and to B rating. This is pretty good. We don't even bother asking them to rate the ugly piece." The junior says, "Ah, so you have managed to create AAA and BBB securities out of a pile of stinky bad mortgage loans. Boss, you are a genius." The genius is the boss. "And okay, now who are we going to sell these three pieces to, boss?" Then the boss senior says, "Oh, these stupid SEC guys. They won't let us sell this stuff to widows and orphans. So we will sell it to our sophisticated institutional clients." "Clients like who?" "Oh, like life insurance companies, like banks, small towns in Norway, school boards in Kansas, to anyone who's looking for a high quality safe investment." Junior says, "But surely nobody would buy the ugly piece, would they?" "Of course not. Nobody is that stupid. We will keep the peace, the ugly ones, to ourselves, and we will enjoy a high interest rate. The junior says, this is all great, boss. But since we are only using a smelly mortgage as collateral on an entire new security, we haven't really gotten rid of them. Don't we have to show them on our balance sheet? The senior says, no, of course not. The guys who write the accounting rules allow us to set up a shell company in the Cayman Islands to take ownership of these bad mortgages. The crop goes on to the Cayman Island balance sheet, not on our bank's balance sheet. The fancy name for this item, for this instrument, is Special Purpose Vehicle, SPV. How fancy a name. The junior says, that's great, but why would they let us do that? Aren't we just moving our own crap around the world? The senior says, sure, but we have convinced them that it is vitally important to the health of the United States financial system that investors do not know about these complex transactions and what is behind them. Well, now the accountants. The one on the left is a citizen, an investor, begging the accountant, saying, sir, as an investor and a concerned citizen, I demand that you force our financial institutions to show greater transparency and openness in their financial reporting. And the accountant says, blow me. Now, we never see it coming. We saw it coming, but here is the two pictures, one on the left, the other on the right. This is the end of the story. The one on the left, the Norwegian village, pension fund, poor guys. On the phone, he says, hey, man, what the hell is up? We are not receiving our monthly payments. The investment bank New York on the right says, I meant to call you, but it has been really crazy around here. It seems that the stupids who took out the mortgages backing your CDOs aren't able to pay them off. The poor village pension fund, wait a minute, we bought the AAA, good piece of the CDO, you know? The safe one. We are supposed to be getting paid first. New York investment banker says, well, unfortunately the loans were quite a bit croppier than we originally thought, and there is very little cash coming in. Frankly, I assure you that we are disappointed as you are. Norwegian village pension fund, hey, but you told me that housing prices always go up and that your borrowers could always refinance their mortgages. The investment banker, yeah, that was a bad assumption. We F you up, sorry. The Norwegian pension fund, bad assumption? Oh, what about the AAA rating from the agencies? Investment banker says, they effed us up too. So, the pension fund, but this security was insured by an insurance company. What about the insurer? Oh, are you kidding? Says the investment banker. There is no way they have enough money to set aside to cover this mess. They blew us up also. So the pension fund says, well, that's just great. What am I supposed to tell to my villagers? The investment bankers, answer. Tell them you screwed them up. Norwegian village pension fund. Screw you. These are the last sentences over the phone. The investment banker, I screw you, screw you, screw you. That's the end. So a very simple presentation of what happened in US about these mortgage loans. And when you hear the story like this, you begin to question the ethical behavior, you begin to question the corporate governance principles, transparency, etc. And then you say, why are these things happening? And as a result of this, look what happened. As a result of this, the value of the banks shrinked, diminished. The blue ones were the value of the banks before the crisis. The green ones are the value of the banks after the crisis. So look at the Citibank. The value before, now the value of Citibank. You know, the value before of the RBS bank, now the value, very small value. Values like $390 billion Citigroup value decreased to $50 billion, things like that. And the global banking system, all the banks, they had trouble. And why did banks fail? So there are various reasons. I can list them as mismanagement. The second is lack of supervision, lack of audits. The third is profit and growth motivation, too much motivation in growth, too much motivation in profitability. The fourth reason is high-risk derivative products allowed to be sold in the world markets. The fifth one is the moral hazard. The sixth is unethical practices lived in the financial industry. The financial system had an ethical paradox. They lived with high risk, however low capital. High risks resulted in high losses in the banking industry. One product of a derivative, one derivative product gave birth to many other derivative products, and when the first product failed, all the other products failed, all the other products collapsed. So these were the derivative products. One fails, all other fail. And whoever is holding those derivative products on their balance sheets, they suffer. There were worms inside the balance sheets of the banks, and this weakened financial position of the banks. There is permanent impairment in value of assets of the banking industry. And risks were carried to off-balance sheet areas. People saw the top of the iceberg. The bottom of the iceberg was unseen, undetected, hidden by the banking system to Cayman Islands, to some other islands, offshore islands. So losses of banks were hidden from the public. Is this ethical? And the credit crunch, subprime loans were hidden from the balance sheets. Is this ethical? Customers were not protected properly by banks. Banks should have protected their customers. But on the contrary, banks let their customers swim over the jaws, knowing the fact that their customers are in danger, they will lose money. They preferred not to advise them properly, and sometimes advise them to swim in the wrong waters. When will it explode? Where will it explode? What will be the damage? The world is now trying to calculate this. So therefore, the ethical paradox in the financial industry, to cure it, pills cannot cure this disease. A serious surgery is needed in the financial system to cure the losses and the damages generated by ethical paradox in the financial system. Governments to press many, many heads in future. Press many heads in future by more supervision, by more audits, by more control, and by more tax on their people. So we have to rebuild the global banking system again. We learned a lot of lessons, and every time we have a crisis, we say we learned a lot of things, we will not do it again, and then we change certain rules, regulations, and some years later, something again happens, and then I prepare some other slides, and then at the end of the presentation, I still say we learned our lesson, so we have to rebuild the financial system again, we will not live similar situations, but as long as we really live in a changing world, changing so fast, we will have such problems also in future. So the ethical paradox in financial institutions, from my point of view, as a summary, looked like the left arm. The ethical behavior growth looked like the left arm. The business growth of the banking industry looked like the right arm. So if we have such a financial system, then the result is freak. So I was a banker, but I call it freak. We look like this, the banks look like this. So it depends on from which side you're looking to the bank. Are you looking to the right-hand side of the bank, which is strong, healthy looking, or the left-hand side, which is very weak? However, bankers, I say now, have two faces. So it's not really ethical to say a people, somebody has two faces. But unfortunately, bankers have two faces now. We have a smiling face and we have a crying face. And it's time to cry now as the bank's financial managers, bank CEOs, and it's not the time to laugh. We have to put our house in order, we have to put the world in order, and we have to respect ethics more in future than we did in the past. So the result of unethical behavior, the ethical paradox in financial markets, the result is a big invoice. Somebody has to pay for it, and it's the world that has to pay the invoice of ethical paradox in the financial system. Thank you.